For by grace you have been saved. Key words after removing the grammatical connective tissue are grace and saved. And we make hay out of those two, loading them up with all kinds of cosmic, theological, theoretical burdens until we nearly crush the meaning out of them. Add through faith, and we can make a real mess of it. Grace is grace. No gift, no strings, no footnotes, or pure gift, that is. No strings, no footnotes, no codicils, no bait and switch, no lost leaders. God loves us, and that love saves us, full stop. Well, then there is that saves word, isn't there? Saves us from. And here comes a whole bunch, a boatload of more theory, theology, qualification, and definition. If the verb save is problematic, try the churchier sounding noun, salvation. Salvation from what? And that ushers in the landslide of theory, philosophy, and on and on. Lately, i.e., the last few years, I've found saved from ourselves to work just about as well as anything. God's grace saves me from myself, from my worst, and from my best plans and schemes and expectations. Saves me from my screwed up notion that I am in full charge of my life. The final kicker in this succinct declaration by Paul is through faith. Whoa. Now we're really off to the races. There are over 4,000, according to Wikipedia, recognized religions and spiritual traditions in the world. Each one, think about this, with at least some nuance between it and the closest one to it. In the family and part of the world in which I grew up, I found myself in the Methodist brand of the Christian religion. When my wife and I were 21, we made what seemed like the Grand Canyon style leap to the Episcopal Church. And it was important to us to do that. And it continues to be important to me to identify myself in that way. The Blessed Sacrament is more important to me than ever, even though, like all of you, I've been separated from the physical act of communion for the better part of a year. Still, in the grand scheme of worldwide faiths and religions, objectively, the differences between this and the church of my childhood would seem negligible. My point, maybe you're surprised to hear I have one, is that this arises from Paul's straightforward statement, by grace you have been saved through faith. Well, even grace, taken by itself, might not be so simple as it first appears, that freely given, unearned gift. And this morning, at least, I'm taking faith to mean acceptance of grace. But it's just not as simple as we might think, as simple as I've even suggested it might be. There's a dog story here. I've been wondering how to shoehorn it into this sermon, and it just presented itself to me as I was doing this. Grace? Maybe. Well, let's start with the content of grace. and take that to be love. I could say God's love, but that might cloud the issue just now. Let's try out the notion that all love, true, selfless, unfettered love, is divine. Now, that might seem to fly in the face of C.S. Lewis and the Four Loves, but maybe not if I stipulate that I'm talking about that highest form in his hierarchy, agape, God's love for us. So, all real love is divine in nature, or at least suffused with God's love. And that love is the nature of grace. Okay, the dog story. Last week we had a new puppy for about 3 days. I cannot adequately explain nor describe what happened to me, in me, in that brief period, beyond saying that I experienced Zelda as pure joy. We had to return her to the shelter because she simply didn't work out for our family. I was knee-deep in telephone numbers of people who could train her or train us and talk with a few of them, but I was whistling in the dark. In her enthusiastic and physically large puppiness, she was too much for our 11-year-old dachshund and for at least one member of our family. I took her back to the shelter, crying all the way there and cussing all the way back. That's the dog story. Here's the grace story. One I must hold on to. The depth and breadth and height of feeling I experienced looking into that rambunctious puppy's eyes and holding her was something way beyond this one dog. It tapped into depth and expansiveness of feeling I hadn't encountered for a long time. It reminded me of aspects of myself I'd hidden from myself for ages. And that encounter was, and as long as I keep it alive in me, is grace. And grace, as I suggested before launching into the dog story, isn't all one monumental submersion in sublime happiness. Experiencing my irrational and disproportionate sadness is also grace. It is knowing that God opens me up in unexpected ways, if I allow that to happen. Aided sometimes by friends, by strangers, even by a furry interloper into my life. To experience the full range of God-given emotions is grace. The grace that can save me from myself and my inclination to keep myself from feeling anything too much. Faith, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, strikes me at this moment as accepting that grace and trusting that God is with us every step of the way, even quickening our pace and lengthening our stride in ways we could never do by ourselves. For by grace you have been saved through faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.